is finally here for Chris, Cindy, and JC. It's going to be the best night of their lives. But tonight is also the night of the creeps. From a world unknown comes a nightmare unimagined. First, they are under you, around you, on you, and then inside you.
They get in through your mouth and you walk around while they incubate, even if you're dead.
They are a new breed of terror.
Freeze!
They are a different kind of horror.
Zombies, exploding heads, creepy crawlies.
We could have a little problem.
The creeps are taking over.
I got good news and bad news, girls.
What?
The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
You have never had a night like this. Night of the creeps. If you scream, you're dead.
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lopotomized. I'm Kevin.
I'm Amanda.
Normally that's when Kyle would say...
Yeah, what the heck, Kyle? Where are you?
Yeah, he would say, I'm Kyle. But unfortunately, Kyle's not here this week. He got the vid, so...
Oh, he got... Dude, that's so 2020.
I know.
What the heck?
Like, that's all behind the times.
Come on. Kyle, you are so 2020.
Jesus Christ. Why don't you get some shag carpet while you're at it? He's totally going to listen to this and be like, fuck you,
assholes. I know. He's feeling good. I think he's just chomping at the bit because he's just, like, stuck at home. Well, I think he's feeling good.
Yeah,
he's alive, at least.
He's alive, yeah. I mean, he's texting back, so that's a good sign, I suppose.
No, but yeah. He really wanted to be a part of this. We were trying to get some way to get him connected remotely, and...
Yeah, it just, I don't know. It would require in-person, and yeah, I'm not doing that right now, so... Unfortunately, but.
He could sit this one out. He could comment at us in the Spotify.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, Kyle,
we're talking about him.
Hit us up in the comments. Like, yeah, maybe get that going. That'd be good.
That'd be so funny.
Yeah, but yeah. So unfortunately, we are without him, but we shall persevere. So yeah, tonight, Amanda and I are going to be talking about the, I would say, criminally underrated Night of the Creeps from 1986.
It's a good one.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, well, fuck it, we'll just kind of go to the end part, in the beginning here. This movie's fucking great. We'll love this. As far as horror comedies of the 80s go, like, this is top tier, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, man. Let's get into it. So we start out on an alien ship.
Okay.
And Amanda, yeah.
I'm going to stop you right here.
You were telling me that... Yeah.
When we first decided we were going to do this, and you sent us not only the title, but you sent us a picture of... I'm assuming, was this like the picture of the VHS tape?
Yeah, it's like the VHS DVD cover.
You know, and on that cover, it just says, you know, the good news, your dates are here. The bad news is they're dead. So what it looks like is it's just a bunch of zombies, okay?
Yeah, yeah,
so like, for like me, looking at the VHS picture, it's like, okay, so this is going to be a zombie movie. All right. So Dustin and I are going to be watching the movie. So I go downstairs. He already has the movie on. As soon as he starts the movie, all we see are these, like, what even kind of aliens are these? Like, it's almost like, looks comedic. There's like these weird aliens on here. And I told Dustin, I'm like, Dustin, this is not the right movie. And he was looking at me, he's like, this is the right movie. And I'm like, this is not the right movie. There's no way. I mean, look at the picture that he sent me. This has nothing to do with aliens. This is not the right movie. And then like 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, this is the right movie. Okay, but what a freaking weird way to start it.
I get it. Like, okay, the zombies are caused by something from space, but it's just such an out of left field. Because you look at the poster, you think Night of the Creeps, you're like, okay, yeah, this is like a zombie, you know, kind of fun, you know, at a college movie. You know,
I literally was like trying to tell him that he was wrong. Like, this is not it. Like, this is totally not it.
No, this is definitely it.
What the heck? Like, I was like watching this. I was like, what kind of beginning is this? Like these just like pink, like just weird looking things. And I love how the subtitles are just in alien.
I know. That was so helpful to understand what the fuck they're saying.
That's pretty, like, sorry, this is like, hilarious.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. So you got these like fat little like ETs running around basically. Or they actually also look like, if you're, I don't know, are you familiar with the Batman villain Clayface?
No.
Okay, well, he's like a dude made out of clay.
Okay.
And they look like Clayface babies, basically.
Oh, really?
If you, like, go and, like, watch, like, the animated series, like, okay, watch one of the Clayface episodes.
Yeah.
These things look like Clayface babies.
Oh, my God. So,
but, yeah, so they're running around the ship. This one's got a canister or something, and they're just shooting this purple shit at each other from their space guns. And now, like I said, they're talking to each other with alien subtitles.
Thank God for the alien subtitles. Gee, thanks.
Yeah,
thanks. So then I really knew what was happening.
Thanks for clearing that up, Frank Decker. Really appreciate that one.
Because I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, yeah. What is going on?
No idea. So, yeah, apparently, yeah, it's kind of funny because he's kind of, the way he's running with this canister, it's a real, like, oh, shit, it's going to blow kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
where they're trying to get it out of the ship as quick as possible, which is what he was doing. But, you know, spoiler alert, it doesn't blow up. But, yeah, so this little alien guy, he ends up jettisoning the canister and just sends it off in his face.
And at this point, you have no idea what it is or why they did, you know.
Yeah, no idea whatsoever. So after that, I mean, we kind of go to sorority row in 1959, and we're at Corman University, which was a reference to Roger Corman, who was a horror director, did a bunch of stuff. Pretty much, like, every main and not even really main character in the movie is named after some kind of horror director.
Oh, that's interesting.
That yeah.
No, I wouldn't have caught that, okay, but that's interesting to know.
As we go through, like, well, you know, we got all of them. But I mean, I don't know. I love shit like that.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. Like, that's right up. I just like those little, you know, nuances and shit like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So there it's Corman University. I like the black and white. Black and white hair is pretty sweet.
I thought they did a really good job of making it look 1959.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, the black and white was a great touch. So we pull up in, you know, this dude rocking this, you know, classic 50s car, cruising up to the sorority house to pick up his date. These 1950s chicks, like, just hanging out, like, just saying, like, buzzwords from the 1950s. Like, that one chick's, like, talking on the phone. But it's funny because, like, the one chick is talking on the phone to somebody about, like, the current situation that we're about to see. Because
mm-hmm.
The one girl who is being picked up for a date just broke up with her boyfriend who was a cop.
Yes.
But you hear this conversation where she's like, he's a cop. Like, there's no future in it. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, cops get divorced a lot, but, like, it's not like this guy came and said he was going to be a fucking magician. Like, what are you talking about? Like, there's no future in that career. Like,
you know, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? But whatever. So, of course, because it's the 1950s, they go to make out point. And then...
That is so... Like,
it's
that
so
time, I just think it's so funny that
yeah.
I feel like any sort of, like, teen movie or anything in that time, like, always has to have that sort of scene.
Yeah, that's, like, they always end up somewhere like that. But unfortunately for him, the ex-boyfriend that we were just talking about ends up rolling up on him and just, you know, they have that awkward, like, oh, hey, what's going on kind of thing.
He seemed like a nice guy.
He did.
He was going around. Well, he was, well, I think, didn't they hear on the radio at first, like, there was some sort of, you know, bolo out for, you know, somebody who got loose. And so I think that cop was just going around telling people, hey, beware.
That's basically
and
then he what he was doing.
And then he just happened to be like, hey, beware.
It's you. And you're hey. Here with somebody. And I know what people do here. So that's just kind of sad for me now. So.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know what the hell she was thinking, because that guy grows up to be Tom Atkins, and you're out of your fucking mind for choosing anybody else. So, for being completely honest. But yeah, so basically that's what he says. It's like, hey, there's this guy on the loose. You guys should get the fuck out of here. After he walks away, she starts doing, like, the Starlight, Star Bright, and I was kind of wondering if that was a nod to Animal House. Because pretty much that exact same thing happens in Animal House when the couple is chilling at makeout point.
Okay.
I mean, she's like jerking him off at the time.
Yeah.
You know, and everything. But like, it's the same thing. She's like doing like the whole like nurse her around fucking shit. So I wonder if that was just like a little nod to Animal House.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I didn't catch it. When was what was the date of Animal House?
That
was
Animal House came out in 78.
78. So, okay. Yeah. Okay, so a couple of years.
They definitely
before.
Would have seen Animal House.
Yeah, and Animal House would have been newer at the time of this movie. Okay.
Exactly. And I mean, the director of Animal House is one that's referenced in this movie.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they're, you know, just kind of sitting in the car, and all of a sudden they see something fly over their head that looks like a meteor and crash off in the distance.
Okay. So, also. How come there's nobody freaking out about this?
Everybody's just like, oh, what's that? I'm like, oh, that's weird. You want to check it out? All right, let's go check it out. And nobody else gives a shit.
Nobody is... Exactly. Nobody's freaking out about the fact that this massive thing just fell onto Earth. I mean, whatever. I guess...
I mean, from the dude's perspective, they're all trying to get laid. So I kind of understand a little bit of them being like, ah, fuck that. We'll check that out later.
Like just five more minutes.
Yeah,
I don't
five
know.
More minutes and then we'll go check it out.
Right? But then they go and search it.
Mm, they do. They do.
I mean, I guess that I kind of would like to do that too. But
I mean, like, yeah, I would have wanted to do that eventually. Just not, you know, right away.
Yeah, maybe not right away.
Yeah, not right away. Like, let's... Yeah, you know, we came here for a reason. It wasn't to go look for stuff in the woods, so.
You would have looked immediately. What the fuck was that?
I would have looked immediately.
You would.
I would have. And I would have ended up just like he does.
Yes.
But yeah, so they end up driving over to where they think it crashed. And yeah, we keep hearing about this, you know, psycho on the radio and stuff like that. I was getting real strong Urban Legend vibes.
Okay.
Like, you know, the Hook legend.
Yes.
You know, the couple, like, I was kind of getting, like, that vibe, too. Like, they were kind of referencing that as well with this. But, I mean, afterwards, what the hell's his name? Johnny, yeah. Johnny ends up going and investigating, and for some reason just tells her to wait in the car. Like, I don't know why.
I would never do that, because then you're leaving me by myself.
Yeah.
Like.
Why wouldn't you just be like, hey, let's go check it out?
And guess what? Two people, at least if somebody gets in trouble, the other person can A, help, call for help, you know, something.
Yeah,
find
something.
Somebody. It's never good to split. Why do people fucking split up in anything?
I don't
they
know.
Always it's split not, up. Yeah,
it's like, so right, maddening. There's some fucked up shit going on. All right, you go that way and I'll go this way.
I hate it.
Just keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best.
Oh, God.
No. But it's at this point that this psycho actually shows up. And this is, you know, what I was, like, telling you earlier. The first time I saw this, I just got even more confused because I was like, what are we doing here? Like, I thought we were doing zombies, but then we're doing aliens. Now we're doing slashers. What the fuck are we doing?
Well, and before this, on the radio, and this is when the girl notices because they're like, oh, we think he is over by the highway near,
Corman University.
Corman area. University. And so she's on the highway and then she looks up at the sign and it says, Corman University. Mm-hmm. So it was like,
oh,
you know,
shit.
So ominous,
yeah.
You know?
Fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
So we go back to Johnny, who's just kind of dicking around in the woods, and he finally finds what crashed, but unfortunately he ends up getting slugged in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. And at this time, I was like, what was that? Like, yeah. You don't really know what that is.
Yeah, right I now. Mean, it's the first time it happened, so you're like...
You're just okay, like, something this? Came, like, went into his mouth.
Yeah, some kind of space thing went in, like, that's probably not good. But, you know, I'm like still not 100% sure what we're doing.
It's like a space parasite?
Yeah, basically. But immediately after, she gets axe murdered. So,
yeah.
It's just like, what are we doing, guys? Like, are we doing slugs? Are we doing axe murders?
Are we doing aliens? Yeah. Are we doing zombies? Are we doing murders? What are we doing? What are we doing?
Can we just make it just pick a fucking lane? Like, I don't know where we're going. But somehow, all lanes converge back to one. So, it's this movie's fantastic. But yeah, so after that, we're go ahead and fast forward to Pledge Week in 1986. And this is where we meet JC and Chris. JC has, he's got arm crutches like that dude and There's Something About Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's really cool because I like saw in IMDb, because I think somebody asked Fred Decker, who was the writer director of mm-hmm. this, he was just like, why'd you make a character that's handicapped, you know? It's like, well, you know, like I just wanted to have somebody who was disabled and not make it about that person being disabled.
Yeah.
Like, people can just like be disabled and you don't have to make a story about just that. So.
Yeah. And I think like, that's great. Yeah, and that's like, exactly what he did. And it fit the part, you know?
Yeah. And funny thing too, apparently the Jason Lively who played Chris, auditioned for JC originally.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm glad he didn't get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm glad he didn't get that part.
Steve Marshall killed it.
Yeah, he really did.
It was amazing. But yeah, like, so it's just them just kind of walking down, checking stuff out.
And you could tell they're kind of nerds.
Yeah, they're kind of like nerdy guys a little bit. But, you know, at least JC is funny. So...
I loved how they talked to each other.
Yeah.
I love their group dynamic.
Yeah, their dynamic with each other is fantastic. I fucking love, this is probably like, if we did like a top five, like friendships of horror, like this could be number one.
Honestly. It's so great.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah. So at this point, you know, they're just kind of like checking everybody out and everything. And this is the first time that Chris sees Cynthia and he just loses his fucking mind.
It's like this magic moment.
Pretty much,
like he just looks at her and is just like, I want to marry her.
He's like, that's it.
That's her. He's like, who?
But I love it too because he's like, oh my God, like who is that? It's like, I don't know. It's like, and fucking JC just turns around and starts yelling at her. He's like, hey, I love that he calls her Toots.
Oh, I hated that.
Toots is one of my favorite, like, old-timey, like, derogatory woman terms.
It's so, like Toots. I would have looked at somebody and be like, what the fuck? I probably would have probably ignore it. But Toots.
Hey, Toots. I love it.
Or, like, doll face.
Yeah, something. Yeah, I love it. That's, like, my favorite, like,
50s, sucks.
Like, lady term. I love it.
Hey, Toots.
It's my fucking favorite. But, yeah, so he just, you know, embarrasses the shit out of him, which is great. We find out a little bit later that Cynthia, her last name is Cronenberg, after David Cronenberg, who directed a bunch of stuff. He did like The Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, okay.
He's like really big with like body horror type stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, but he's a big one. And like nowadays, I think his kid is actually directing some stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's cool. But yeah, so they end up going into the party. Because that's where she goes, and, you know, Chris wants JC to go talk to her for him, because he's kind of a nerd. And, yeah, so we get to, JC basically goes out and is playing wingman and everything, kind of rescues her from this fucking unibrow guy mm-hmm. named Steve, which is amazing, because, like, the one, like, quote that he has is, like, look, he's, like, basically, like, talking about how retarded this guy is. He's mm-hmm. like, look, he's a fucking Neanderthal. Like, that guy has one continuous eyebrow. It's fucking amazing.
And he did.
Oh, it's so good. But, yeah, so he basically goes up. He's like, hey, man, like, there's a phone call for you. He's like, oh, really? Nice. And he fucking takes off. And then he just, you know, kind of starts laying the groundwork with her. But is about to kind of try to figure out if she actually has a boyfriend, which unfortunately she does. But just as he's about to kind of get an answer, you know, Steve comes back and kind of blows up the spot again. But he ends up going back to Chris and just kind of gives him the details. It's like, yeah, her name's Cynthia, blah, 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 you know. And this is the thing, too. He's like, all right, well, it's like, we got to find a way for her to become interested in me. It's like, I got it. He's like, well, pledge of fraternity. And this goes back to, like, JC. It's like, well, maybe, like, talk to her first, you know. Like, just try that. You know, you don't have to. You're a couple steps ahead, I feel like.
Well, no, I think what he said was, because he said, like, you should go talk to her. And he goes, well, I want to marry her. And he goes, well, I hate to break it to you, but I think you got to talk to her first. And I'm like, this is so fucking funny.
That's amazing.
Because there's something that, like you would totally say to any of your friends. Like,
if somebody was acting nervous, like,
you kind of have to talk to her before you marry her. So, like, you know, fantastic. Let's figure this out. I just thought there was so much, like, little bits of humor in all of this. It's so funny to me.
The writing in this movie was fantastic. Just the dialogue between all the characters and everything. And, like, everybody, like, we'll get to fucking Tom Atkins, like, his fucking catchphrase and shit. Like,
yeah.
It's fantastic. But, yeah, so instead of talking to her, he decides it's a better idea to pledge a fraternity. And they go to try to pledge the Beta House. So they're kind of getting interviewed by the rest of the betas, and they're all like
they typical, all look like a bunch of assholes.
Yeah, it's like typical douchey frat, you know, guys like that kind of thing. Except for that one guy who's like sitting in the back who looks like he's 42.
I did not pay attention.
This dude who's like right behind the Bradster who's just sitting there and looks like he's 42. Like, if you told me he was a grandpa, I would believe you.
He's just one of the extras. They just. Maybe a little too old.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
They're called doctors.
But yeah. So basically, you know, they're asking Brad, it's like, okay, what do we got to do? It's like, okay, you got to do this prank, basically. And I love the suggestion. He's like, you're not going to make yourself sex with a farm animal, right? It's like, no. Like, that's kind of a weird idea.
But what the hell?
It's like, why did you immediately go to that?
Like, they thought of, like, the worst-case scenario, and then he just said it out loud, like, word vomit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just based on the character, I feel like Chris is a bit of an alarmist. Like, he just always thinks that the worst possible thing is going to happen. That just seems like his character. But, yeah, so it's not. So, basically, what they want them to do is go get a dead body and drop it in front of one of the other sorority houses. And this is also when we find out that that Cindy is going out with Brad because, I don't know, she makes terrible decisions, apparently.
The Bradster.
Yeah, I know. She's like...
Even had that in his car. I know. The Bradster.
Like, how do you date somebody like that?
I have no idea.
How do you go for that guy? I actually looked up this guy's IMDb. I don't know. I'm like, I might have this wrong, but I think he ended up... Like, I think, judging on what I saw about him, I'm pretty sure that he was married to one girl, and then divorced her, and then married her sister.
I gotta look that up.
I think. Just based on, like, the little bit that I saw. Like,
okay, then he's a Bradster in real life.
I was gonna say, so he sounds like kind of like he's a Bradster in real life.
He sounds like a real Bradster. Yeah,
exactly. So... God, why do Brads have to be shitheads?
Oh, man.
So, they end up going to the college morgue, I guess. This college has a morgue. I mean, I guess, like, the medical department might have a morgue, possibly.
It was, like, they call it, like, a lab. I don't...
Yeah, kind of. But, I mean, he says pretty much along the lines, like, go to the morgue and get a body. And I'm just like, this college has its own morgue? Like, that's kind of weird.
I mean, there's colleges like Ohio State, how Ohio State has a medical center, like, which is a hospital.
Okay.
Things like that.
Yeah, it's got a full-blown
hospital. Yeah, but I don't know. I thought this was more of like a lab. I mean,
it certainly doesn't look like a hospital when they go into it.
For like cadaver lab or something. I don't know.
Something. I guess. Well, I mean, a chick shows up with a box full of human brains later on. So, I mean, I guess.
Oh, that was. Screw it. But I knew that was going to come back at the end somewhere.
I knew it. That's too odd of a thing. We'll get to there. But, like, that's too odd of a thing to throw out there without coming back to it.
Yeah, oddly specific. Yeah.
But, yeah, so they end up going to this place. And the way that they gain entry is fucking ridiculous.
I thought it was so humorous. I'm like, this would never, ever happen.
This is such a ridiculous one. But, basically, like, the guy, because it's a key card and a numerical entry. So you have to put in a passcode and have a card. So the science guy comes up and puts his card in and then puts it. It's apparently a 4-digit code. Remembers 3 of the digits, forgets the last one, and then walks off to go call his roommate or something like that, I guess.
But then somehow that's still, like, that doesn't time out.
No, no.
It just stays there forever. Stays there
forever. I mean, this is 1986, so maybe they didn't realize that was a bad idea yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a bad idea. Because, you know, JC literally just hits 0 and the fucking door opens.
He's like, how'd you do that? I don't know.
He's like, fucking magic, dude. Oh, God. So they go into this place and see Johnny's corpse from 1959. Holy shit. Is this the lab? I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this place looks like the fucking command center from the Power Rangers. Like, there's even a fucking guy in a tube. Like, it's pretty
Zordon?
Yeah, exactly. Like, the only thing they were missing was the stupid robot, like Alpha or whatever the fuck his name was.
Oh, what was his name?
I think it was Alpha.
Was it Alpha?
Yeah. Yeah. That fucking guy.
You're right.
Pretty sure it was Alpha. So.
Did you know Zordon was, what's his name? The voice was,
I know it was David from, Fielding.
No, was from, wasn't it from Breaking Bad? What the hell's his name?
Oh, Walter White.
Walter White.
Yeah, he was Zordon in the remake movie that came out later. I remember. He wasn't the original Zordon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But holy sorry. Shit. No, off fine. Of Power Rangers, but you're right. It looked like that.
Yeah. But it was like that, but like shittier. Think for a second, think about how shitty that set was, and then this one was shittier.
But can you imagine, like, okay, like, this college, they're hiding some deep shit. Like, this should be, like, FBI or Department of Defense
Something like that. Like, you literally have a dead body that's been contaminated by an alien species.
That you have cryogenically frozen.
Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, we found him from 1959. It's like.
And he's just in a lab by himself, like, just what?
Yeah.
In some random college. No, this should be just literally, like, Department of Defense, CIA.
This asshole,
like,
should be locked up in Area 51.
Yeah.
Why is he not in Area 51? But, yeah, so, JC, working more of his magic, he ends up getting the chamber open. But unfortunately, Johnny decides to wake up and grab one of their arms. So, of course, you know, dead guy waking up, they freak the fuck out and run out of there. And that's a little bit shortly after that, after they run past the scientist, that he ends up getting slugged as well. So they get back to the dorm. This is kind of a cool thing with them, too, is because you never really see this, but it just is more like character development. Like, they kind of get into a fight, basically, and it's just not something that you usually see. I mean, they're only met, like, they get it out of their system and then they're cool again immediately, but it's just, you don't usually see that, you know, in these, and really any kind of movies.
Yeah, you know? You're right. I do like that. I didn't realize, but they have, like, I just like their dynamic in general, and it's not like, yeah, I mean, best friends can be pissed at each other.
You can get pissed off at each other and, you know, get fed up with each other for a minute. You know, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, they make up pretty much immediately and everything's cool. So next, we go into Tom motherfucking Atkins.
Woo-hoo.
God damn, I love Tom Atkins. And this is such a fantastic intro for him as well. I mean, of course, you find out it's a dream, but it's great. Like, he's just, like, sitting on this beach. He's dressed like the most interesting man in the world in that white suit. He looks fucking fantastic.
And before I knew it was a dream, I'm like, who the fuck sits in sand in a bright white tux? Like, what is this?
Tom is the fucking man. And he's got these, like, girls giving him freaking coconut drinks and shit. Like, looks like an awesome dream, honestly. But it ends up intercutting with a flashback from 59. And this is where we get the confirmation.
Well, because she climbs out of the water,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He sees her, and then he starts getting, like...
He's like, oh, shit, what the hell? And then...
He gets, like, PTSD flashback,
kind of. I mean, well, there's more that we don't find out until later, but there's more that happened that night.
Yes.
So, but yeah, so he ends up waking up and immediately gets a call about the incident at the lab. And this is the first time we hear the catchphrase, but it's great. Anytime somebody initiates, like, talking to him or he needs, like, information from somebody, he just goes up and just says, "Thrill me." Like, it's just like, it's fucking great. I love it. I want to steal that and start using that in everyday life.
You should.
I think I'm going to.
Because you know what? Most people will think probably you made it up.
Yeah, I know, right? But then when I run into the person that knows the reference, that's going to be fucking awesome.
And then you're going to be BFFs.
Yep, exactly. But yeah, so he gets to the lab and it's just Tom Atkins just talking shit, which is amazing. Especially because he gets there and he was initially told that there was two bodies in this lab. And he gets there and there's only one. Johnny had pretty much just walked off, basically.
Well, I would be just as mad. He's like, yeah. You told me there were two bodies. And like, really, nobody could like explain that. They're like, oh, we messed up.
Somebody did something, you know, whatever.
But here's the thing. Say if there was like 10 dead bodies, okay? And they're like, oh, wait, there's only 9. I feel like that's easier to miss than like, dude, no, there were 2. Mm-hmm. Now there's 1. Like, that is way like, no. You're not going to make that mistake.
It's bad enough. All right, it's bad enough if you can't count to 10. But if you can't count to 2, like, that's a bit much bigger problem.
Exactly.
That's a much bigger problem.
So that's why he was all pissed. Like, no, you told me there were 2 bodies. What the hell?
What kind of problem do we have going here?
Yeah.
Man. They show up once or twice later on, but there's also a Detective Landis and a Sergeant Ramey who are on this crime scene.
Oh, really?
And
I didn't pay attention to
Landis,
those names.
Of course, John Landis, who he was the guy who directed Animal House.
Okay.
And, you know, American Werewolf in London, that kind of thing. And then Sam Raimi, who did the Spider-Man movies and Evil Dead and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's just some more references right there. After this, we see Brad's awesome license plate when he's dropping Cynthia off. This is when we get to see the Bradster on the fucking, his stupid car.
Hey, wait a second. Can I rewind a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, so say, all right, so this lab, to me, this is a big fucking deal, okay? There's a person who's cryogenically frozen. He came, is there nobody who understands why he was cryogenically frozen in the first place? Or, like, they never get into that.
Not
like,
really.
Never, like, there's not one person that goes, oh, shit, like, that, like, why did they choose him? Did they know that he swallowed something and wanted to, like, they don't go into that.
I don't
that.
Think anybody there did. I think probably, as far as all the people that were there, the only one that possibly did know that was the scientist.
Yeah,
and
well,
he's dead now.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that the one, it's just like a little throwaway line, but one of the guys says to Tom, he's just like, oh, this guy has been here since 59. We've had him on ice since back then. And that's it.
And I would be like, what the fuck? What? Like, that's insane. You know, I just feel like this is like way bigger of a news story than anybody's ever saying. But Anyway, go on.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like I said, I just don't think anybody knew. They're just like, somebody must have taken it.
Yeah, something. And they just don't, but that's a part of the story that they just don't go into in the movie. Like, they don't say, like...
Well, something like that, too, I feel like wouldn't be common knowledge. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they would be broadcasting the fact that this guy had an interaction with some alien life form. You know, it's just be like, oh, that's a guy, you know, they just got him on ice. I don't know why they propped him up like he was fucking Zordon or, you know, Austin Powers when they steal his mojo. But, I mean, they did, so. But, like, there's no way that, like, everybody around would know about the alien
thing. Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, so this is when we get the box of brains after Cynthia goes inside. I guess she's, like, she's, like, head sorority chick, pretty much, because the one other girl who shows up with literally a box of human brains asks her if she can store it there. For one reason or another.
And she's like, I just don't want it upstairs.
Yeah.
I don't care. And me, I'd be like, brains? Yeah. Are you serious? Like,
really? Don't you need to put those in a fridge?
Like,
yeah. I mean, you would think, right?
Because it's fermented?
I guess, yeah. If it's in the jar with all and the formaldehyde and stuff, I guess it's
tightly sealed. I don't freaking know. I don't have brains in my house.
Brains. Yeah, I don't have brains either, surprisingly.
Surprisingly? Yeah. You're gonna have a knock on your door. Excuse me, sir. Can we check your basement?
Yeah, I know, right? Wait, no, you can't. Can I see a warrant? I know my fucking rights. Ain't finding my brains.
Mm-hmm. So,
after this, we meet Gordon the cat. I initially, as you can see in my notes there, I thought for a second that possibly the cat was named after Stuart Gordon.
Okay.
Who directed a bunch of movies in the 80s, but apparently Gordon was the name of one of the producers. So.
Okay. Well, so, still, I mean, it's still, you know, paying homage to
something. Yeah, I was reaching for something.
Yeah.
But yeah. So after that, we have Johnny kind of peeping in Cynthia's window and then just ends up releasing a bunch of slugs, like, right in front of her. Like, basically, it's like, head splits open and they all come out. It kind of seems like this, like somebody will get infected and then it'll gestate and multiply like in their brain and then it'll hatch almost.
Yeah, it's almost like just like
seems like the thing.
Yeah, like a parasite, like almost like one of those like brain eating amoebas or something, whatever they call
it. In the meantime, they'll be like a zombie trying to like kill people.
Yeah, and the one thing I thought, and they didn't go into this, but I thought maybe he chose Cynthia because was that girl's room and from 1959? Because, you know, he was throwing, you know, rocks at it.
It might have been, but it might have, I don't know if it was specifically her room, but it was the same house.
Okay, because I just figured maybe it was the same window.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, and she was, and I was like, well, that could make sense to me because,
honestly,
you know, that's where he went before and he'd go to the same one.
Mm-hmm. So, since there's a body with its head split open on the front porch, Tom and the rest of the cops end up coming and checking it out and finding the body. Tom's starting to... I mean, at this point, he really has no reason to feel this way except for being super paranoid. But he kind of starts thinking about what happened back in 59 and, like, possibly... Because he even asks... one of the other cops, he's like, do you think an axe could have done that? And, you know, he knowing that the original killer used an axe.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of already starting to feel weird about stuff. But, I mean, I think he's jumping the gun. At this point, he's jumping the gun a little bit. So we go to the next day, and Brad is just kind of bitching at them about the prank that they didn't manage to pull off.
Yeah, but he thought they did.
He thinks that they did, yeah.
He thought they did.
He's like, I told you the other sorority house, you fucking idiots. Like, what the hell? And, like, that's fucked up. That's where my girlfriend lives. That's not where you should have done it. And then, of all the fucking dick moves, he trips JC.
Yeah.
As he's walking away. Like, how are you going to trip a dude with arm crutches? Like...
it just makes you so much more like of a coward. Like,
yeah,
like you're afraid to, you go for the one that you think you're going to be able to beat up because you're a piece of shit.
Yeah. But on the plus side, Chris finally meets Cynthia face to face.
Yeah. But so, they do tell him, they're like, hey, we didn't pull that off. Yeah. They're like, it looks like we did, but we didn't pull it off.
Like, I don't know how a body got there, but it wasn't us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately after, we have the cops walking up, and Tom ends up interrogating Chris and JC. And this is where we get their full names. So Chris, his last name is Romero, for George Romero. You know, Night of the Living Dead, bunch of zombie movies and stuff.
Cool.
And JC is actually a twofer, because his full name is James Carpenter Hooper. So Carpenter, John Carpenter, and then Toby Hooper.
Okay.
So
cool.
Yeah.
They just went all out.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I love it. It's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tom. He calls him Spanky and Alfalfa.
I know.
And then he just keeps the nickname for him the whole rest of the movie.
I love that. It's such a Dr. Cox thing. Yeah. From Scrubs. Oh, you know, 100%. Just
being a fucking dick.
I know your name, but I don't care. I'm not going to call you that.
Yep. It's like, whatever. All right, Spanky. Come on.
You know.
And so apparently while they were running out, there was a witness to them running away. And it was this Mr. Miner, who is a reference to Steve Miner, who directed Friday the 13th Part 2 and 3 and Halloween H2O. Like, he did a bunch of stuff.
All right.
So I think that's the last one. But I do love how amused he is with the whole screaming like banshees bit.
Screaming like banshees.
Loves it. It's the funniest shit in the world to him.
Well, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was fucking great. Yeah, I mean, even
he says it like three times.
Yeah, I know. And even JC at the one point, he's like, you run the hell out of here. He's like, yeah, don't forget, screaming like banshees, right? Yeah,
I loved it.
But yeah, so Chris breaks immediately and just tells him that. No, just lays down what happened. He's like, hey, we were going to do this, but we didn't actually do it. We don't know what happens, blah, blah, whatever. So we go back to the morgue after that.
I mean, it was the right thing to do because the police, he never thought they were lying, really. I mean, he was just kind of like...
I mean,
hated him.
No. I mean, but he was kind of like, okay, that's weird. But like, he never once was like, bullshit. You know, like
right, that. Yeah.
You just kind of listen to what they said. It's like, okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, kind of. But yeah, so we get back to the morgue, and the scientist wakes up. I love how he sits up like Michael Myers.
Oh my god, me too. Great. But you know what was weird? This was another thing. Okay, and I forget which podcast we did before, but you know, the coroner or anything, he was eating.
Like, oh, of course he was.
So,
yeah.
So especially because I was laughing, I'm like, Bob is totally going to talk about this. But like, even when they initially went to the lab as a crime scene,
mm-hmm.
and the body was missing and blah,
yeah.
blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah,
the coroner was eating.
Yeah, the coroner
in there.
Always eating.
Coroner was eating in there.
Always.
In this scene, I can't remember if he was eating.
I think he was. I think he had something like off to the side.
I can't remember. But what I thought was really weird was that before anything happened, he like turned around real quick when nothing happened. Like, but I don't know if he like heard something or he just felt weird.
He like turned around. Weird, but like he jumped the gun.
He turned around, looked at the body and like nothing happened. And then as soon as he turned back, the body just bloop, just sits up in a 90 degree angle. And I was like,
Would you credit to him if he sat up that fast on his own? Because that actually takes a decent amount of fucking core strength.
Well, how do you... Exactly. Like how does your knees not bend or your... Like, he had to be... Well, he's all strapped down.
He probably had... Yeah, he probably had his legs strapped
down. But it takes a lot of core strength.
Oh, yeah. That's impressive. So, yeah, he sits up like he's the fucking Undertaker and just kind of bails, honestly. Like, he walks past the blindest security guard ever. And the guy's just like, yeah, see you tomorrow. And just keeps walking.
I thought that was so funny. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, it's amazing. Because he's just reading this paper or whatever the fuck, just not even paying attention.
This is going to be sound stupid because I don't remember. Did the coroner die?
No, I don't think so. I think he just left.
I was like, do I remember that? Okay.
No, I don't think so.
But
But
yeah, so he's literally just walking in a completely
lit up
hallway. Like, it's not like this hallway was dark.
No,
completely lit up hallway in the security. All right, I'll see you. Yeah, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Like I said, like covered in blood, no shirt, no nothing.
Not looking at him.
It's like, I don't care. It was like the 1980s equivalent of like having your nose in your phone and just fucking walking by.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're right.
It's fucking great. But unfortunately, after that, it's Mr. Miner who ends up getting got. So.
That's too bad. I liked him.
Yeah, I liked him too.
He's just like a fun, random, like, fun character.
Janitor, yeah, like, fun janitor guy, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, ah, he's cool.
Yeah.
So we get back to the sorority house, and Cynthia and Brad officially break up, which, you know, good news for Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, shit, though, Mr. Kitty. Mr. Kitty ends up coming back to the door and is all kinds of fucked up.
Oh, my God, he's got, like, worms in his mouth.
He got slugged and just, like, Creep Kitty looks like shit. But
I mean, those slugs were pretty big. That thing was, like, shoved down that guy's little throat. Poor guy.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Gordon's pretty much done. Tom's just back on the case, and this is when they find Mr. Miner. So it's more of like, okay, there's something fucked up going on here. Like,
yeah.
Maybe I believe what the hell they told me, you know, maybe I don't, but something's definitely fucked up. After that, Cynthia actually ends up going to JC and Chris's dorm, and the three of them go for a walk while she basically lays out everything that she saw. It's like, I saw this guy and a bunch of slugs came out of his head, and then the cat was all fucked up, and what the hell, and, you know, all this. I do love, there is one moment, though, like, because she, of course, she's, like, getting upset, but the fucking bromant, sorry, that's a bro moment, that Chris and JC have when Chris puts his arm around her. And she's, like, covering her face, and they, like, give each other oh, shit, dude.
They're looking at each other, like,
they're, like, fist bump or something.
And then, like, back to serious.
Like, it's so great. I love it. That, just that little bromant.
I like that, too.
So fucking good. He's, like, giving him the thumbs up and shit.
He's so excited.
So amazing.
Fuck it, okay. Oh, serious.
So, I mean, after that, JC, being the incredible wingman that he is just kind of like, hey, I gotta go hit up the bathroom. I'll catch up with you guys later. Mm-hmm. He just kind of takes off. Which, at that point, is the proper, if you're trying to be a good wingman, that's the proper move. So, he does end up going into the bathroom. And, yeah, this sucks. Because this is where JC ends up getting it.
I know. You know what?
I wanted him to last the whole fucking movie.
Me too. Like, if this was going to happen, I wished it was a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But it just... Oh, he's such a good guy.
I know.
Good character. I mean, I guess, like, well, once we talk through it, we'll find that he really does kind of save everybody.
I mean, kind of. He's able to acquire, like, a lot of useful information right here.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, as he's in the bathroom. And I do want to bring up a couple things, too. Because if you look, like, as soon as it cuts back to him in the bathroom, he's writing his own graffiti on the stall. But if you look right to the right of where he was writing, there's something that says, like, Striper Rules. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that.
Okay, that was the makeup artist. She was married to, I think, the lead guitarist of the band called Striper.
Oh, that's awesome. So they put that up
on the wall. And then if you look behind him, there's actually another one. I'm pretty sure it says Go Monster Squad. Monster Squad is another movie that's directed by Fred Decker.
Read about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, just more like, I don't know. I enjoy, references are fun for me. Like,
mm-hmm. Like little, you know, Easter eggs, like everywhere. Eggs. Yeah.
Like, I love that shit. Like, not when it's right up in your face, but if it's just, if you know, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I love that. But he, as JC is kind of looking out the bathroom stall, he sees Mr. Miner lying there dead and the slugs kind of going around.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's like, those? Oh shit. Like, because I mean, there was literally, like, he was kind of joking around about what Cynthia was saying too, because that's just JC. Like, that's just how he reacts to everything pretty much. But, like, this is like the realization where he's like, oh shit. Like, everything she just told us was pretty much spot on.
Mm-hmm. And now he's stuck in the bathroom.
Yeah,
and
now he's stuck in the bathroom with legs that don't work very well, which fucking sucks.
And he's in a vulnerable spot. I mean, he was just on the toilet. He's like putting up his pants.
Yeah, it's not a good place to get attacked by slugs.
Yeah.
He does, however, learn the very valuable lesson, though, that you can kill it with fire. Because that's what he does. Somehow he's got a matchbook with him, even though pretty sure he doesn't smoke or anything, but he's
maybe
got,
did they fall out of like the janitor's stuff? Or because I didn't know how they came there.
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure they were. I don't know.
I don't know. I just knew that they were there.
Under the door.
Yeah.
And Mr. Miner was like kind of a couple feet back. So he like threw them or something like that. I don't know. But he finds out really quick that like if these slugs even get close to fire, they just light up like they're made out of fucking toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we have a weakness.
They should have tried putting salt on them.
I know. Right?
No, just like a...
Just to see what happens. Get out of here, snail. Get out of here.
I know. I mean, it looks like you would not like salt.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, that would have been way funnier if you would have pulled like a shaker out of his pocket. For some reason, he just has a bunch of salt.
Like, that was the way that they killed all of them?
Yeah. Putting salt on them. I mean, it would probably work, right?
Hey, come on. It has to, right?
I feel like that would work.
It would have worked.
Whatever. So Cynthia and Chris end up getting back to her place, and surprisingly, she asks Chris to the dance. I don't know. I guess with him being the only one to believe her or something like that, she just feels that connection and, of course, knows that he's into her. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's surprisingly mutual.
Well, I mean, that's a big thing. If a guy sits there and listens.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at least seem like you're interested in her. When,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you just got to pretend.
I mean, more than likely, he was just kind of like a rebound, but.
Yeah.
But hey.
Yeah, he's probably not going to get his wish of marrying her, but you know, maybe.
Hey, you know what?
You never know.
You never know.
So after this, he ends up running into Tom. Tom ends up coming back and finds Chris, and they basically go and hang out and drink. And I am so fucking jealous of that. I want to hang out with fucking Tom Atkins and fucking drink and smoke cigarettes and fucking chill.
They had a good conversation.
Yeah, it was great. Basically, Tom confesses to murdering somebody back in 1959.
And I love how, like, so we're all thinking that, and then he, like, alludes, he's like, other than confessing a murder, is there anything else? Like, I forget what his exact words were, but it was just so funny.
He's just like, I think he said something along the lines of, like, are you sure you should be telling me this? Because I don't think you should be telling me this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically what happened, because we saw the girl get axed to death. You know, he wanted to come up and ask her a question, and it didn't work out for her well at all.
Such an idiot.
So apparently afterwards, because that was, you know, the girl he was still sweet on, even though they were broken up, he ended up tracking the guy down and blew his head off with a shotgun. Or shot him in the chest, I think. Yeah, I think he says he shot him in the chest. But he ends up murdering the suspect instead of arresting him. And then he ended up burying him in the lot that was behind Cynthia's sorority house.
Yeah, wouldn't it just been easier if he killed him and said, hey, this guy was trying to attack me,
so I killed him as a cop? Yeah, why not do, like, the typical, like, put a gun on him or something like that, you know?
Or just say he had a... I think that he had every right to kill him on the spot. I mean, the guy had an axe.
Yeah, he had an axe.
Killing him. He had an axe. You kill him right there and say, hey, end of story. You don't just have to just, like, secretly kill him and then bury him. Like, that's... That's a little bizarre.
I mean, what did you end up saying? Like, hey, he got away.
Yeah.
Like, was that what you put in your report?
I mean, I don't know.
Never caught this guy?
I mean, who knows?
I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, so, but unfortunately, it's not a vacant lot anymore because the house mother's cabin is built over where he buried her.
And I never even knew a house mother existed. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, like, I thought, like, I obviously sororities and fraternities, I was never in a sorority. I've been around them.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But a house mother, like, I can't picture an old lady living in a house near the college and being a house mother. I can't picture that.
I don't know if it, I mean, in
like maybe in the 50s. I mean, is that true? Is that still a thing? There's no way. I've never heard of that.
I have no idea if that's still a thing, but it definitely was a thing. I mean, a lot of the time she didn't even have her own cabin. Like, she just lived in a room in the house.
I can't imagine being like 75 years old and living in a sorority house. That sounds awful.
I know.
That sounds
that
awful.
That doesn't sound fun at all.
That's not fun at all. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You'll never have peace and quiet ever. Like, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, that does sound like.
I just feel like, is that like, there's no way that still exists anymore.
I have no idea.
Like, I feel like I gotta look that up. I should have looked it up beforehand.
Yeah,
look
it up now. If anybody out there is in a sorority, and if you have a house mother, let us know, because I want to know if this is like an archaic thing that's not in practice anymore, or if this still continues today, because, yeah, I'm kind of curious about it as well. But, I mean, like, there's a house mother in Black Christmas. Like, there's a house mother in House on Sorority Row. Like, oh, that's the, at least in the 80s, that was a thing.
So, I don't know. I'm asking AI, so who knows if this is a thing. But it says not all sororities have house mothers.
Meaning some still do?
It says some houses have housing directors or administrators, while others do not. But when present, house mothers or housing directors act as a live-in guide, manager, and mentor for sorority members, overseeing housekeeping, facility maintenance, and ensuring adherence to house rules and safety protocols. Like, I feel like a house mother would be almost so, like a fifth-year senior or something. I don't see it as, like, a 75-year-old woman. I don't know.
And, like, all those movies, though, like, it's always, like, an old lady. an old lady.
I just don't see it. It's so weird.
I mean, this isn't really a spoiler, but, like, the whole crux behind A House on Sorority Row is that they accidentally kill the house mother. And then try to, like, cover it up and, you know, make it seem like it was an accident and shit. But, like, that's, like, the whole, you know, that's the whole base for the story.
Weird.
Like, anybody out there, if you have a house mother and you're in a sorority, or you were in a sorority recently and had a house mother, fuck, let us know. Like, I almost feel like it's a fable.
Like, instead of like the old woman that lives in the shoe, it's like the old woman that lives in the house next to the sorority house. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Like
the fabled sorority mother.
I don't know. It is kind of a weird
idea. I'm probably just like super naive too, because I was never ever interested in sororities or fraternities. It just wasn't my thing.
Well, yeah.
But like, it's so funny. It's just funny to me.
Community college. So, I mean, like we said, so this dead body is buried under her cabin, and unfortunately for her, these slugs end up getting inside and they reanimate the body of the psycho from 59. And just the way that he busts through her floor is it's fucking amazing.
But let's just go through this scene, okay? Yeah. So she's just watching TV, right?
Yeah, she's actually watching, I think, Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Oh, okay.
Which is an old 50s, like, that's alien hilarious movie, so.
So, okay, so she's just sitting there doing nothing.
She's just
chilling. She has a dog there. Then all of a sudden, out of literal nowhere, from her, you know, floor, just picture you're just chilling on your couch watching TV, and out of your floor just comes this skeleton.
No.
That just breaks through and...
With an axe.
Still has an axe.
Tom, maybe don't bury him with his axe, okay?
But, like, the whole scene, other than, like, what's, like, the breaking of the, you know, the breaking of the floor and whatever other, you know, noises surrounding her, she does not make a peep. It, like, scares her mute. Mm-hmm. Like, she opens her mouth. She's got, like, this, like, you can't, like, scream a little. Like, not even just, like this much. Like, maybe just scream so your other sorority girls can, like, hear you. Or, I don't know, anything. Like, nope. Can you do anything?
Nope.
She says nothing.
I was waiting for her to just, like, keel over because she had, like, a heart attack or something like that. And just, like, have, like, the zombie just kind of, like, throw his hands up and then just walk out the door.
Well, that was easy.
It's like, all right. Fine.
But, yeah, she just... Not one peep at all. Not a, nothing. Mouth open, nothing.
Not a damn thing. So, yeah, so he axes the fuck out of her.
She didn't do much to try to save. She didn't, also, she didn't run. She didn't walk. She didn't, if she can't walk, she didn't fucking roll. She didn't take a cane and try to.
She sat there and took it. I mean, she's old. She's probably ready to cash out anyway. You know, she's probably waiting for something like this.
No, she was not waiting for something like this.
I don't know. Like, maybe she was.
She was not waiting for a fucking skeleton.
You don't know that.
I guess.
If she wasn't, why'd she put her fucking house there?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
She was asking for it.
She was asking for it. Well, she got it because she didn't try. She definitely didn't try to not get murdered.
I don't know why this is the one where I'm victim blaming, but
what the hell?
I don't know why.
Why are you? I don't know. She didn't try to do anything to save herself.
Yeah, not a peep.
And guess what? Neither did her dog.
No, her dog didn't really care either.
Her dog didn't care. They both just sat there and just like, okay, I'll allow it.
But you know what? At the same point, I'll say. No, to go along with your point that she just sat there and took it without making a sound. I guess it was the dog who called 911 because immediately after she gets murdered, Tom gets a phone call.
Oh.
So.
Well, yeah, then I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it's one of those like smart, or maybe her like life alert started going off or something like that.
Did somebody see a skeleton run out of her house?
Yeah, there you go. And be like, whoa, that's fucked up.
Hey, you're not going to believe this, but a skeleton inside. With an axe just came out of this lady's house.
Running across the backyard. Remember how the cat was fucked up the other day? Like, yeah, it kind of looked like the cat, but you know, a person. And had an axe for
person
some
with no skin.
Yeah. Still had hair, though, so that's kind of weird.
Did he?
I think so.
I think he had hair.
I think so, when they cornered him. Like, I'm pretty sure he still had hair.
I don't know.
Maybe I just made that up.
Did you think that? I don't know.
I don't recall the skeleton being bald. Oh, God. So, you know, of course, they find out that she got axed in the face, and all the cops are trying to find, you know, I guess they put out a bolo for us. Skeleton with an axe, apparently.
Can you imagine, like, the drawing, the sketch artist, like, this is what he looked like.
No, he had a little less skin. A little less skin than that.
A little less.
Dial it back a little bit more.
Okay. There we go.
It's just a picture of Jack Skellington. Is this the guy? Like, yep, that son of a bitch did it right there.
I think that's him.
Start hanging the wanted posters.
Just put an axe, but with an axe in his hand.
Yeah, put an axe in his hand. There we go. Now it looks legit.
Dang.
Have you seen this man? Oh, God. But they end up finding him, which is cool, and end up just kind of like cornering him in an alley. And, I mean, Tom is not having a good time with this, but to their credit, once they realize it's a skeleton, they just light him up. Like, all the cops just start lighting him up. And then it's finally Tom that pulls out the shotgun and shoots him in the head. But in doing so, releases a bunch more of the slugs everywhere,
mm-hmm.
which kind of sucks. And it's kind of counterproductive. So we go into the next day, and everybody, well, including the slugs, they're all getting ready for the formal.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris ends up asking somebody if they've seen JC, because he hadn't seen him since the night before. He's kind of starting to get a little worried, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, no, last time we saw was with you. It's like, oh, that's kind of weird. But he ends up going back to the dorm room, and he finds his message. I guess during the point when he was listening to the message, because I guess the guy who played Chris was a lot more like JC in real life. So, like, he's kind of like a joker, like that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like a carefree, you know, kind of thing. And the director, in order to make sure that he was playing it straight and, you know, doing everything like he should, apparently while, like, on the outside of the camera shot, he hung up a bunch of pictures of, like, atrocities and shit.
Oh my god, that sucks!
Yeah, so,
he's just depressed
pretty much,
the whole time he's doing this?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, apparently, I guess he looks up at one, at like, one point, and it's a picture of the Holocaust, like, of, like, from, like, Auschwitz or some shit, like...
Oh my god!
Yeah, so...
Then he has, like, Normandy, and then he has,
just
like...
a bunch of, like, just tragic shit.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's so sad.
In order to, like, keep him straight.
We just want to, we need to make sure that we keep you really sad. We need to reel you in.
Yeah.
You just need to be depressed. We need
to go method for this one.
Oh my god.
But yeah, so he's listening to JC's message, and it sucks, because, you know, JC's fucking awesome, and I wish he was still in the movie for the rest of it, but unfortunately he's not. But this is where he tells him, like, hey, use fire. Fire will kill them.
Yeah.
You know,
when he was like, hey, they got me. One of them got in me.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, see, here's the thing that I kind of think. I think he lied to him a little bit. Because he says in the thing, it's like, one got in my mouth, like, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I don't know, dude. We saw that one go up your leg. That one was coming right towards you. But we never actually saw anything go in your mouth.
You think it went up his butt?
That's kind of what I'm thinking, yeah. And I don't think he wanted to admit that he got killed by something going up his butt. And, you know, just said that it went in his mouth. I mean, that's probably what I would do. Like, if I died from something going up my ass, I'd probably be like, it went in my mouth. Yeah, it just went in my mouth.
I tripped and fell on it.
Yep, don't ask any more questions, please. That's where it went, and that's what we're going with.
But, that's right. That is true.
Yeah.
No, but they did allude to the, because
they did, because it showed
the end scene, they showed one, like, coming straight for him. They did allude to it.
They did, but there's one that we got confirmation of, and there's one there's not.
That's true.
So I'm just basing that on what I saw. But apparently he told him in the message, too, that because of the heat, he ended up going down to the furnace room to try to just be somewhere hot that maybe he could burn him out and it would help or something.
I honestly thought that he did it just to kill himself.
I mean,
probably, I really.
But I mean, like, maybe he would have been able to, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe would have helped. Who knows?
At least he thought.
He thought to do something to, like, try to contain
it. Yeah, because he went to the furnace room and he said something like, so if you never see me again or something like. Yeah. He probably knew that...
If you don't see me, like, I didn't make it.
So. Yeah, he probably knew that his time was it ticking for him. But he told him where he was, which was a good thing, because then his friend looked for him. You know, his friend looked for him, which...
And, I mean, he found him, too, which sucked. Because it's like, ah, fuck. Like, no, JC. Like, JC's awesome.
Yeah.
God damn it.
What I did find in this movie is that, like, people, like... He just found his friend, his best friend, man.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of mourning. I mean, I guess they're still kind of...
You don't have time for it.
I guess they don't have time for it, you know, because they're in, like, maybe survival mode.
No.
But, like, I mean, man, he just saw his friend just Oh, man, breaks your heart.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, so we finally find out what happened to the dog as well. Apparently the dog got infected. So,
turned into Cujo.
Yeah, it turned into fucking Cujo. So he ends up going in and infected Bradster. So now we don't have to worry about fucking Bradster anymore. But we go back to Tom, and Tom is just getting hammered right now and is about to fucking kill himself, basically. When Chris shows up, and I mean, this is like the little moment of mourning that he kind of has, because, you know, he's like, well, I don't have JC anymore, so I guess I'm best friends with Tom. So he goes and hangs out with him. And it's just basically like, hey, you know, I need your help. Like, you know, I think he tells him Alfalfa's dead. He's like, Alfalfa's dead.
Oh, he does say that. That's what he says.
Like, Alfalfa's dead. And he's like, fuck, man. He's like, all right. Tells him, you know, he tells him all about the slugs, tells him everything. And, you know, at this point, Tom has seen enough that he's like, okay, yeah, like, I believe you. This is legit. And basically tells him, like, hey, we need, you know, we can kill him with fire, like that kind of thing. So we go back to the dog, and the fucking dog is just wreaking havoc at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, he goes and fucks up Brad, and then he goes and causes a goddamn bus crash by just chilling in the middle of the street. Because I guess they're all taking some bus to the formal. Like, the formal's not within walking distance, or nobody wants to drive there. So they all took a bus.
Yeah, with something. Their little cummerbunds on.
Yeah, and all their little suits and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, the dog's just chilling in the road. So.
I got the impression that they were just going to the sorority house, though.
I mean, yeah, I don't even
Or maybe they were at least just going there to pick up the girls.
They were probably going there to pick them up.
They're probably going there to pick them up. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
But... yeah, but that's at least that's where they were headed.
Yeah.
And the whole bus just crashes.
Yeah, it just fucks up. Like I said, that dog's on a goddamn rampage at this point.
First of all, what kind of... I mean, that bus driver, how did he...
He was probably drunk.
I mean...
drunk, too.
Okay, so there's a dog in the middle of the road. I mean, you don't just turn the wheel just 90 degrees and it's... Yeah. I feel like... I don't want to say it's hard to flip a bus, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, you gotta...
There was no way he was going fast enough to do so. Like guaranteed that road is 25 max.
You know?
So how fast was that asshole going if he's flipping the bus by doing a sudden turn to the left?
I don't know.
Well, so... after that, we check back in with Tom and Chris, and I don't know where I think they actually go to the police station, and this is when they go and see Dick Miller. And
yes,
I don't know if you don't know who Dick Miller is. He's banging like everything.
Dustin immediately recognized him.
Yeah, Dick Miller has been in so much, like, and he's always just like a little like character actor, but like. He's in Terminator. He's in fucking Gremlins. Like, this is so much fucking shit.
That would be, I think, my favorite job. Is just to be a small role in a bunch of movies.
Just a little, like, bit part here
Just
and a there.
Little bit part. Mm-hmm. I think that would be so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, so they go and see him. And apparently he's the armory librarian or whatever at the police station. And, yeah, Tom Atkins just goes up to him and is like, so I'm going to need a...
flamethrower?
I'm going to need a flamethrower.
He's like, all right,
sweet. So just give me the requisition form. He's like, well, there's a little problem with the requisition form is I don't have it. And then he sticks the shotgun through the bars. He's like, that's not going to be a problem, is it? You know.
But here's the thing. I was telling Dustin, I go, why doesn't he just fucking tell the truth? This guy, like, just say, hey... there are literal parasites eating people's, like we have, identified all these bodies. This isn't like hearsay. Like, these are actual things. And then if he says, no, I'm still not giving it to you. Okay. Then maybe put a gun to his head.
Say hello to my little friend.
But at least try first.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, they seem like, I mean, maybe not friends, but they seem friendly enough. You know, I'd be like, dude, there's some crazy shit going on, like...
I feel like that guy would know. Don't you? I mean, you should know that already, right? No.
Yeah,
or they just keep him locked down in the basement in his library.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. Like that's where his office is. So like, I don't know. I mean, he's definitely not being consulted on cases.
Yeah. Well, either way, they got it.
Either way, yeah, they get it. So.
I just thought there was probably an easier way to get it, potentially, but or a nicer.
Yeah.
Nicer way.
No. So, much like Johnny earlier, Brad ends up just going to the sorority house. And at the same point, we see all the victims of the crash just kind of rising up. Which is kind of weird, because we don't see any of the slugs, you know, infecting them. They just crash in a bus, and then all of a sudden they're all just
and then
zombies.
It's just like the, under the assumption that they
I
all.
Mean, I guess
just,
like the dog went in there, so we probably like spit a bunch at him. But like there was a lot of people on that bus, so I don't know. I feel like that dog would have been emptied out to freaking give all of his slugs
away. No. The dog would have no organs. They would just been all parasites.
Yeah, I mean, if the dog was literally all slugs, then like yeah, he probably like,
yeah, that would work.
He would have had enough, but I don't know how it works. Because I think it goes into your brain, too. So, like, dogs' brains are smaller. So
I don't know.
Whatever. I like this movie too much to care about that stupid shit. That kind of shit.
Don't worry about the minor details.
That kind of shit, I'm going to let that slide. Like, that's fine. But, so, like you said, Brad goes to the sorority house and nobody notices anything.
He looks like a dead zombie.
Yeah. And, like, the chick who answers the door is just like, hey, like, Brad's here, whatever. Like, it would, okay, if they were going to a Halloween, like, party or a costume party or something like that, that would make sense. But this is just a formal.
This is like formal.
This is like homecoming. Like, it's like you're not supposed to dress up like a damn zombie for homecoming. At least, I don't think. At least you didn't back when I went to fucking school, so.
Yeah, no. But. Also, side note, I heard that, was it just in some places? Wasn't this movie called Homecoming? Like when it was regionally?
I don't know. I was listening to a review,
okay. And I think that was possibly one of the alternate names.
Okay. I mean, movies always have like alternate titles and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah,
like,
I'll have to look back at it, but I think that was one of the alternate titles of it. But either way, yeah, I just can't believe that nobody,
even when Cynthia goes out and is talking to him, she's just completely fucking
They try to make it seem like she wants nothing to do with him, so yes. She's just not looking
she's not
at
even
him.
Looking at him, yeah.
But you would fucking know that, okay? I'm sorry. You would see something out of the corner of your eye.
And he's not even saying anything back. He's just over there, like, spitting up slugs. And, you know, she's just completely fucking oblivious.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Well, thankfully, Tom and Chris show up when they do. Because just as Brad's about to go after her, they show up and give him the shotgun flamethrower combo, which is pretty sweet.
That was pretty awesome.
That's an awesome like tag team move for.
You need to finish it with
out.
A little salt.
Yeah, just put like a little salt on it, you know, or like as soon as you're done, just like do like the like at the end, like on their body, like
yeah.
Do, like the salt bay. Yeah. Like, that asshole is.
I know.
Like do one of those.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that could have been Cynthia. Cynthia could have been in charge of the salt.
That's a good idea.
That's pretty fantastic. But yeah, so they take out Brad, so we finally don't have to worry about that jackass anymore. And Tom just rolls into the house. We see the creeps starting to show up from the bus. And this is when we get the freaking classic line from this movie that was like the tagline with the old good news, bad news.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for that. And then after that, it's just fucking creep carnage. Like,
creep carnage.
Yep, it's fantastic. And, Thankfully for Chris, he ends up catching, this is just what I call it, it's a term that I've called badassmosis, where there's a character who is not badass at all, but is hanging out with somebody who is a badass, And just from hanging out with them, they themselves become a badass.
Like, yeah, it's almost, yeah.
So,
yeah. I think that's a great badassmosis.
Yeah, badassmosis. Yeah. So that's what I call it.
That's a great word.
Mm-hmm. I know. Isn't that fucking great?
You need to just like coin that.
Trademark that
term. Trademark yeah. that shit.
I'm going to nickel every time somebody says it. So.
Trademark that shit.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's just the thing. Because he was hanging out with Tom, now he's a badass too. And I mean, hell, even Cynthia, just being around him for a couple seconds, like, she ends up becoming a badass as well. Mm-hmm. That's how badass Tom Atkins is. Just by hanging out with him, like, you gain some of that power. But yeah, so it's a bunch of stuff. Like, I mean, they're fucking him up in the yard. They're breaking into the sorority house. Tom's fucking him up with, like, the way he does the cig and the aerosol can.
I thought that was awesome.
It was awesome. Doesn't work in real life, by the way. But
no?
No. It's got to be an open flame. It would just put out the cigarette.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay. Because you've tried it.
Well, yeah. But yeah, so I mean, but like Tom in there just busting caps, fucking screaming, like that, like, turnaround fucking shot that they do on him, like, it's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
The lawnmower, when they're in that like side trellis area and Chris just fucks him up with the lawnmower.
At first, I thought that was just so dumb. Like, oh, so you're going in this tiny little, you think this is going to keep them out? Like, yeah. This is just going to, you know, confine you even more. And then that...
You're backing yourself into a corner.
Yeah, and then that mower scene. But I actually heard... I listened to something that said that this scene was actually added to it because...
Not enough action.
There wasn't enough action.
With, like, the test audiences, they, like, wanted more action.
Yeah, so. Well, because, I mean, it makes sense if all you're going to do is just... I don't want to say all you're going to do is just, like...
Shotgun flamethrower combo.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean... That's cool to a point, but if you do it to everybody, it kind of falls flat. Mm-hmm. You need a little difference in something.
Just like mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. Like somehow, even with that, you still get in trouble. And they did that and, you know, it seemed to work. I mean, a lawnmower, that sucks.
Oh, yeah. That's
fucking amazing. Lawnmower to the face?
I know. It's amazing. That's fucking amazing. And just smoked all the slugs too at the same time. Like, that's fucking fantastic. So you remember that one chick earlier on in the movie had a box full of human brains and took them down to the basement?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so apparently that attracted every single slug.
Why wouldn't it?
Exactly. It makes perfect sense. That
perfect sense.
Yep. So they end up going downstairs at this point, and it's just like a pile of fucking slugs in the corner, just going after these brains. And they run into Tom down there, and it's funny because he's got the tape over his mouth. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, just, you know, that's one of the best defense. You should have put some over his butt.
I was just going to say.
You want to be, like, really careful? Like, I don't know if he did, but he should have.
He probably wouldn't have said anything if he did.
No, of course not.
You know, but...
No, he would have lied.
You would just hope that he did.
Yeah. I mean, for his sake.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then when he does that catch of the one, like, that just flies at him, mm-hmm. like, that's so fucking badass. That's amazing.
That's so cool.
So yeah, so, you know, Cynthia and Chris end up running into him. He's like, no, you guys need to get the fuck out of here. Like, he's got the gas cans ready. He's ready to fucking just sacrifice himself because he was about to kill himself earlier. So at least now he's, you know, doing it for, you know, in order to take him out. And he just kind of just starts the countdown. And just so Chris and Cynthia know how much time they have, and they just kind of run and make sure everybody's out of the house. And he just fucking blows the whole house to hell.
I would have run so much further away from that house than they did. They stop, like, immediately in front of the front yard.
Yeah, they just kind of go to the sidewalk.
Like, dude, just go. Keep going.
Yeah, like...
See how much gas was in there?
Maybe cross the street. Like, maybe go across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then I was thinking about this time. So, at this point, all the people who were killed, all those girls, they know that those were their dates. Like, like a whole fraternity just died, you know? Like, it
was. Yeah, but it was just the betas.
But you, like, so it's just funny, like, to see this, like, this movie for sure does not focus on any of the mourning of anybody.
No.
Of nothing.
We ain't got time for that shit. We're gonna blow up houses and we're still obviously in danger, so.
Yeah.
The danger has not subsided. Well, once, you know, the house blows up, then everybody thinks that everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, after that, you know, it blows up, you know, Chris, I don't know, I think Chris maybe sheds, like, a single tear for Tom, knowing that he sacrificed himself with that, but, like, for him, he finally gets to make out with Cynthia, so, good for him, cross that off the list.
What a romantic place to do it, too.
I know, right? All of her friends just died.
The house is on fire. Nice.
Mm. You're homeless now.
All this, right. This is my best day of my life.
Lucky for you, though, I've got an open spot in my room, so.
Woo!
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, Tom didn't get all of them. Because we actually see him kind of walking out, and he's crispy as fuck.
And well, he got all of them, but those were just the ones that were in
him. That were in him.
Him.
Yes. So he falls, his head hatches, and a couple of them go squirming away.
Why did he take the tape off his mouth?
I don't know. Well, they would have come out of his head anyway.
Well, no, but he didn't.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, that was before. Yeah, well, he probably just thought they were all going to die in the flame.
Yeah, probably. But, yeah, so some escaped. And where did they escape to?
Oh my God. Where do they escape to? They escape to probably the worst place that they could ever escape to.
Yeah.
That I never thought of until I saw it, which was the freaking cemetery near them. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, oh, no. Oh, no.
Bad news.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Shit.
Because all you need is one, and then it just...
Yeah, there are like five or six of them that popped out of Tom, so...
Like, somehow they must be, like, asexual. Or somehow they, like, have babies. They just divide.
They probably just, like, can divide. Yeah, or something like
they
that.
They just... I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. We couldn't
I didn't learn that in health class.
Yeah, well, we couldn't read the alien subtitles. So.
I know. If only we could read alien subtitles in the beginning. We would know all of this.
Know all this shit. Oh, man. So, yeah. So, after that, we see that the aliens have shown back up because we see their little spotlight in their ship. And apparently they just kind of cruised in just to see how much they fuck shit up by throwing that canister down here. You fucked it up quite a bit. Thanks a lot for that, guys. And then they just kind of take off and then roll credits.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I forget whether we mentioned this earlier, but this is actually the ending of the director's cut.
We did not mention this.
Okay. So, yes, we actually watched the director's cut of this movie.
Which I thought was cool because I did not realize that we were watching the director's cut. So then when I was, you know, listening to other things about this movie, I remember them saying like, oh, yeah, was it the director itself that was kind of like mad that they decided for the theatrical release to do a different ending? He was like, he wanted to do an alien spacecraft ending. And in my head, I'm like, well, that's what I saw. Well, that's not the original ending, or that's not the theatrical ending.
Nope,
then they said what the theatrical ending was. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. Not sucks, but like...
It's way lamer. Because like, yeah. In theatrical ending, as far as I know, like, they don't run off to the cemetery, I don't think. Like, I don't think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happens is the dog comes back and ends up infecting Cynthia. And that's it.
And I think that's stupid.
Yeah, it's
I think if... So, for me, I think if the movie... Like, so the movie should have either ended where they're all dead. I mean, like, all the parasites are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Or they go to a freaking graveyard.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I totally agree with the director's cut versus the theatrical cut.
Director's cut, I think, is way better, too. Because you get the spacecraft, and, like, almost, like, by the time you get to this endpoint, you've almost forgotten about the first 5 minutes, you know? So it's like, oh, shit, yeah, like, there was fucking aliens involved in this
shit. Yeah, what the hell?
You know, like, and it just comes back around. So, yeah, I definitely prefer the director's cut ending to the theater.
Oh, yeah, but that's another reason, because you're right, that alien, like, that would never have come back around. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I like that as well. But, yeah, so that is Night of the Creeps from 1986. Amanda, I'm assuming this is a first-time watch?
Yes.
Okay.
You guessed right.
Nice.
Again. Yeah. Well, I mean, you obviously knew it was a first-time watch if in the first 5 minutes I'm telling Dustin, Dustin, this is the wrong movie. God, I don't want to. It's the wrong movie. So, I mean, there's just, I think I would have liked the movie far less if I didn't like the dynamic of the two main characters so much.
Oh, 100%.
I just thought it was so cool because, I mean, the movie is good. I mean, there's certain part. I mean, it's just kind of like all over the place. You know, aliens.
Yes.
Zombies.
Slashers.
Like, I actually read somewhere that they put, like, it said something like, this is the last B movie you'll ever have to see because we just put a little bit of everything all into one.
Every single trope you can.
Like every single thing.
This is a fucking trope salad. It's amazing.
A trope salad. Yeah. But it is true. They used, it was a little bit of everything. But it was fun. Like I said, it was not only it was funny too. Like Dustin really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And he's not a big, like, he's not like a big 80s horror fan, but like he liked this movie because it was, you know, it had funny parts in it, you know.
And the characters make the movie.
The characters make the movie. Absolutely. And so I did find this movie very enjoyable, but it was just kind of like you're right. It was just a salad of all different types of, I mean, even just like this. The sorority college, you know, young teenagers and, you know, the slashers.
And there's aliens. A dance and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You know, and this, I think he probably thought, like, what can I fit in this movie? What are all the things I could possibly fit in this movie? I mean,
it goes together great, too. Like,
yeah.
The series of events and everything like that. It's just like, yeah, it's a little weird. But, I mean, the whole time, I'm like, yeah, like, I'm in. I'm on board. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. And I read somewhere that TriStar, they had very, very low bar for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they only had it go in theaters like regionally, and I think that's why it did not do well, because they didn't put it out everywhere. And I believe one of the places they called it was homecoming night, at least somebody said.
Okay.
Homecoming night. And so yeah, so that's why it didn't do as well. I think it did better once it was on VHS.
Yeah, I feel like this one does have a cult following now. Because, like I said, I feel like this is criminally underrated, because this movie's fucking amazing. It's so fun. Yeah. It's just fun. Like,
you know what's weird, though? I feel like, I mean, I don't really have a solution to this or like an alternative name, but I really do think because Night of the Creeps, I don't know, I think it could have had a better name than Night of the Creeps, because that doesn't really, I mean, I guess there was so much going on in it that's not, I don't have a better name for it.
Yeah.
But like when you just hear Night of the Creeps, like in your head, like you don't, that could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
That exactly. could be literally anything, yeah. You know?
Well, it's another trope too with the, you know, Night of, like how many, you know, Night of the Living Dead, Night of the Comet. Like there's so many like Night of movies as
that's
well.
That's true.
Like, that was just one more trope that they could throw into the mix as well.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. But no, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was just like a wacky movie.
Yep, exactly.
It was just weird, but it was but it was fun.
Yep, exactly.
Like it was just one of those fun 80s, like, purposefully thrown in a bunch of shit. You could tell they probably had a good time, like, making this.
Oh, yeah.
Other than the guy who they just, like, forced to be in depression.
Forced to, like, look at evil pictures and shit.
What the heck? But can you imagine, can you imagine being one of the actors or auditioning for this? And you're trying to, like, they're trying to tell you what this is about. Well, it's about an alien parasite.
Okay.
That an alien parasite that enters your body through your mouth, but then you become a zombie, and then you kill people, and then your head blows up.
Yep. And also, there's a slasher, and we start the movie in 1959, actually, and there's this whole thing, and then we come up to modern day with 1986, and then all that stuff happens.
And then you're just you're sitting there auditioning, and you're like, "What the fuck am I auditioning for?
What? Like, is this even a real movie? Like, what
the you're fuck? Like, am I being punked?
Ashton, where the fuck is Ashton?
Am I being punked?
I know it's 1986, but
what the fuck?
He was alive, I think. So.
Oh boy. No, I liked it. You told me that you were like, I think you're going to like this one. And I did. I did like this one.
That's good. I'm glad.
I hope that Kyle liked it. I know Kyle watched it.
Okay.
In his isolation.
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck else is he going to do?
I think he's going crazy just being isolated in his house right now.
Yeah, that shit sucks.
Kyle, you have to comment on Spotify what your thoughts on this
was. Yeah, let us know. Let us know what you thought. I don't want to text. I want a comment. So
yeah, that's right. We want you to like it, listen to it, and then comment. We will not answer your text.
Yeah, no. At least not until you comment. Shit. But yes, so yeah, so thank you guys for hanging out with us and all that. Like I said, we love this movie. Hope this is one that you enjoyed as well. You know, if you did enjoy it, be like Kyle and comment and tell us about it.
That's right.
Let us know what you thought.
Kyle will lead by example and comment.
Yeah, just get the fuck, get it rolling.
That's right.
But yeah, so thanks a lot, guys. And I suppose until next time, I'm Kevin.
I'm Amanda.
Take care.
Bye.